Okay, welcome everybody. So lots to talk about, as you can see, lots to talk about digestion. We're getting lots of questions, and we'll bring callers in very soon. If you want to talk to me, you can call in and press one. You have to press one, and then we can bring you into the queue. There's one or two callers in there right now. So if you call now, you will get in. Just wanted to share a little bit of stuff that happened this morning that I just feel really good about it. About 6 months ago, a very famous woman approached me who's, I consider, one of the world's leading authorities in mind-body health, and has written, her books have sold millions and millions of copies, and she's very famous. And she approached me because she had a close personal friend of hers was having weight problems and health problems. She had heart problems and weight problems, and diets weren't working. And I considered it such an honor that she approached me because of who she is. And so that was an enormous honor. And when we put this person through our coaching program, where he met with our coach mentors, our nutrition specialists, our cellular release, emotional release specialists, tapping specialists, and worked with us. And I just spoke to him, and he's just doing great. He's been losing weight, and he's not hungry, which is such a powerful combination. And sometimes it can take 6 months for that to happen. When I spoke to him originally, I said, let's be really, really patient. Let's focus on healing. And that's what we've been doing. And he's at a place now where he's losing weight and not hungry. And that's a very rare combination. And when you get to that place, it means you've addressed the real issues. It means that the inflammation has gone down, the stress has gone down, you're nourishing yourself. And whatever the reasons were that your body was holding onto weight are gone. It's very, very different than going on a diet, which wasn't working for him, didn't work for me, it doesn't work for most people. When you go on a diet, you're just fighting your body. You have not addressed the real issues. So your body doesn't want to let go of the weight. Then you're losing weight, and your body doesn't want you to lose weight, so you go to war with your body. We all know that. That's the yo-yo paradigm. We've all lived through that. He's going through a very different experience right now, where he's saying to me, I'm just not that hungry, and I'm losing weight. So when you're in a situation where you're not that hungry, you're not craving junk food, and you're losing weight, it means everything's working in the right direction. You're addressing the real issues. That's what we want to achieve in the 6 weeks. It may not happen in 6 weeks, but the action steps that we're outlining for you will make it happen. Whether it takes months or weeks, it will help you to get to this place. And that's what we're all trying to do. And I just felt so good for several reasons. One, as I mentioned, it's a huge honor that this person would even approach me, and that we were actually able to help this person who other people weren't. Means that our information is getting out there, our approach is getting out there, and it's very, very real and substantiated. I'm excited about that, and I feel really, really good about that, and I just sort of wanted to share that. So anyway, we've got some callers, and I'll take them, and as you can see, for those of you that were in the last class, there's lots and lots to talk about when it comes to digestion and nutrition, and digestion especially, when your digestion's not right, it causes this kind of low-grade chronic inflammatory response that causes you to gain weight. So getting your digestion right is a lifelong process. I'm having these super greens right now. They're loaded with probiotics and digestive enzymes and nutrients, and I'm always doing things like that. It detoxifies you, it nourishes you, it reduces inflammation. I'm always taking things that help my digestion. I recognize that at a very early age, I had digestion problems. We made a point to live when I was a kid at a place that had fluorinated water because my dad was a dentist, and the studies at the time suggested that fluoride helped with tooth decay. That's controversial, maybe it does or it doesn't, but one thing it does do is it interrupts your digestion. So I had digestion problems, which then led to ear infections and sinus infections, and which caused me to have lots of antibiotics, which then caused more digestion problems. And now I recognize that digestion is a lifelong process for me, and it is for most people. I'm happy with it because I eat really healthy foods that help your digestion. For example, this morning for breakfast, I took a can of tuna and some spinach, and I put kimchi on it. I put nutritional yeast. I put chia seed oil, which is very high in omega-3s, and some balsamic vinegar. These are the kind of things I eat, and then I have these super greens, and I have probiotics with it. I'm all about digestion. And that's what I want to help you with this week and going forward. So any questions you have about that especially would be great. But other than that, we'll take whatever questions you have, however I can help you. So let's talk to Dara from the UK for starters.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Daryl.
Thank you for taking the call.
My pleasure. Thanks for making the effort. It must be pretty late over there.
Yeah, it is. It's worth staying up for.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call because I guess I feel as if I know that I've been doing a lot of the things that have been recommended as part of the method for quite some time.
Sure.
I would say probably 18 months at least. Where I've come off the pill, I'm on no medicine, I've addressed stress issues, I've been taking digestive enzymes, I've been doing eating, you know, paleo sort of style. Yeah. And my weight is just the heaviest it's ever been. Okay. And I guess I'm just worried that I haven't really identified the trigger.
That's possible. Can I ask you a few questions?
Yes, please.
Okay, let me get some background from you. So how old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay. How much weight are you looking to lose?
Truthfully, I would like to lose 50 pounds. Okay. But at this moment in time, the 30 pounds I put on in 2 months after coming off the pill, despite not eating, you know, really genuinely not eating very much at all, I would be grateful even for that at this point.
Yeah, let me stop you for 1 second. Are you saying that when you went off the pill, you put on 30 pounds in 2 months?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need to investigate this. Let me go further. I need to rule out a couple of things, and then we need to look at it. So probably there was either a hormonal change that took place or a bacterial change that took place at that time that we need to address. But before I talk about that, I want to look at if there was any emotional issues at that time. So was there a relationship / emotional issue around that same time? Like, did you have a breakup or an unpleasant experience?
My husband and I didn't break up, but it wasn't an easy time. But it's hard to know whether the uneasy time caused the hormones or the hormones caused the problems.
Sure.
I felt absolutely terrible. I would say for 1 week I felt suicidal, which is not my natural state. I'm generally pretty positive.
Yeah.
Immediately after that, I went to see an endocrinologist who works with natural treatment. And, you know, thank God she's a very sensible woman. She got me immediately on some natural progesterone. She got me onto digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that. And actually, my hormones, I would say, have never been better. My acne is gone. My periods are fantastic. So I knew it wasn't okay to be going that way. So I feel like my sleep is good. I'm not on any medicine whatsoever. I haven't been for 18
months.
No,
what about progesterone? Nothing.
No, I only used that for a few months to get through the transition of coming off the pill.
Okay, so
haywire.
All right, so let me stop you.
Dara.
Hey, Dara, can you hear me? Let me stop you. Let me keep going. So basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but you went off the pill. You were going through a really difficult time emotionally. You went off the pill. You took progesterone for 2 months. Is that right? Did you take it for 2 months?
Maybe 3 months.
Three months. You gained a lot of weight in that period. And then did your weight stay stable after that?
Sorry, to be more accurate, actually, I gained weight for 2 months. And then it was after that that I went and got help.
Okay.
So I came off the pill.
Okay.
Weight went mental.
Okay.
Went to get help.
Okay.
Got help. All other symptoms alleviated apart from the weight.
Got it. But then... Did you stop gaining weight once you started taking progesterone? Did the weight gain stop?
No, there was nothing else. It was two dramatic months of.
Okay.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I even tried some days. I tried just as an experiment one day where I didn't eat and weighed myself the next day, and I'd gained 3 pounds.
Amazing. That's amazing, right? Okay, so. There's two areas that I want to investigate. One is the emotional, and we're going to talk a lot about emotions next week, but emotional stress, emotional trauma, boundary issues, these are all things that can and will cause you to gain weight. And this is where you get into this area where it's not about calories in and calories out. Because like you said, you didn't eat anything and you gained 3 pounds, you know? So yeah. There's an issue that, like, when you have emotional issues that can trigger you. Here's a really important question. I want you to think really hard about this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start to gain weight before you went off the pill? Think really
before
hard about
I
that.
Before I went off the pill, I have.
No.
Actually,
I mean in the month before, the month or two before. Did the weight gain start before you went off the pill?
I guess a little, but my weight had been fluctuating for years anyway with chronic dieting, so it's very hard for me to even describe what normal is, because I don't think I've known.
Fair enough, but you know it. But gaining 30 pounds in 2 months is not normal. You know that, right? I mean, that's right. So what I'm wondering is, did it start before you went off the pill? Because it's a really important point, because you were going through a tough time. My sense is that tough time was a trigger that needs to be investigated. That's my feeling. Even though obviously, because going off the pill doesn't usually cause you to gain weight. It usually is the exact opposite, but it can, any kind of hormonal change can cause your body to hold on to weight. So it could be related to that, but my sense is it's more related to the emotional issues that were going on. And then something about going off the hormonal changes, the combination of the hormonal changes when you're going off the pill were exacerbating it. But I would want you to look into ways that you can work through, go back and work through whatever the issues were that were causing problems emotionally at the time, because they could be really big issues for you. And that's where it's possible you may find a real trigger.
Yeah, I think that sounds fair. I mean, because otherwise the medical, you know, the very good medical, natural medical help that I got, which has addressed all the other symptoms, would have worked.
And you're doing a lot of things. You're doing a lot of things with digestion. You're taking care of your digestion, right? And your nutrition. You're doing all those things, right?
Very much so.
I would love for you to go and do some emotional work on that time in your life, because a lot of times when you have an emotional trauma, we'll talk a lot about it next week. Your body sets up this kind of defense against the outside world, and when you have that, you have to address whatever was happening. Your body has to feel safe. So you can do that through tapping. You can do that through the cellular release work that we talk about a lot. We have a whole team of cellular release therapists. You can do it by listening to the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization that we have. It's called Safe, Strong, and Protected. I would love for you to listen to that. And while you're listening to that, try to think about that time in your life and healing that time in your life, imagining things going differently. You can kind of reinvent the past a little bit. And from your body's perspective, your body can be happy with that. So while you're listening to the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization, imagine that time in your life. Imagine all this protection around you. And imagine it working out differently. Like you were safe. You felt good. It wasn't a hard time. Things worked out better. You feel good. Kind of reinvent the past a little bit while you're listening to that visualization. That's one way you can do it without getting any help at all. And sometimes that can work really well.
I think that's really a good idea.
Okay.
And I think I probably have other things further back that I should probably revisit as well.
Like
because
we all do.
Prior to this sudden weight gain, there was, you know, chronic dieting and constantly battling to keep my weight down.
Sure.
I just about managed it, but it was bloody hard.
Sure. Well, let's start moving in that direction. And that's a kind of a good segue into next week, because we're going to talk a lot about these things next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's talk to Cynthia in Dallas, please.
Hi, John.
Hi, Cynthia.
I'm the one that you talked to about getting some exercise for people that used to be athletic when they were younger.
Yeah. Okay.
During the resistance training.
Okay.
I saw the travel videos that you put up there for me, because I also travel for a living.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the one for the resistance training.
Okay, so
is there a video or something?
Well, yeah. So there's a video that we sent out to our entire list a couple of weeks ago with like sort of my at-home workout that I think is perfect for you. Did you see that video?
Oh, okay. I saw that one. Yeah, where you're under the stairs.
That's what, yeah, exactly. Like something like that.
Okay.
Where you're doing like a little bit of a sprint type of workout for, over a 5-minute period off and on, and then a little bit of resistance a couple of times a week is a perfect workout for you.
Okay, cool. Then I'll do that one.
Okay.
As far as the digestion thing goes, it's been really interesting. I've been taking probiotic and enzymes for about a year and a half because Texas medicine woman had told me that it was a really good way to get over any allergies that you might have, and it's just a good thing to do.
For sure.
I had my gallbladder removed when I was 27, and I had asked the doctor, well, is there anything I need to change when I eat? And he went, no. So now I'm finding out that the enzymes are a good thing.
Yeah, they're a really good thing.
And
you want to take it a step further. So because you don't have a gallbladder, there's different types of digestive enzymes. Most digestive enzymes are plant-based, which is fine for most people. But you want a digestive enzyme that's got bile in it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You want a digestive enzyme that's got bile in it. Okay. You have to ask for that because that's what your gallbladder is supposed to be producing or is secreting. So so you need that help. And it's common when people have their gallbladder removed to have weight challenges afterwards, but this usually addresses the issue. But you have to have digestive enzymes that have bile in them, okay?
Do you have any that you would recommend or any makers that you would recommend?
Well, you know, Body Ecology is always one of the best brands. I normally recommend Garden of Life because I really like their products, but I don't know if they have a digestive enzyme with bile in it. Theirs is just the traditional plant-based one, but if you go into a Whole Foods or a health food store and just say you want a digestive enzyme with bile, that you can look through them with someone and they can point you in the right direction.
Okay,
would take a really good one like the Garden of Life one plus one with bile. So digestive enzymes are so beneficial for you that I would really go kind of over the top a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
And my other thing is this week I'm doing my meditation. Yeah. I'm adding food. I talked to myself and made a deal with myself that I'm not going to deny it anything at once as long as it lets me keep adding stuff.
Cool.
But I'm craving sugar all of a sudden, like crazy.
All of a sudden.
I mean, out of the ordinary crazy.
Okay, so...
So I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah, so when did that happen?
This week. Last week, I wasn't hungry very... I got the whole not being as hungry as I usually am.
Yeah.
And everything else, but this week, for some reason...
So is it every day? Is it every day this week, or just...
Every day this week, yeah.
And are you more tired or traveling? Are you traveling more than usual, or more tired than usual, or anywhere in your cycle that would trigger that?
No, I'm just... I'm tired. I'm getting over this wicked cough that was left over from an upper respiratory infection that I had.
Did you take antibiotics for that?
But they wanted to put me on it. No, I took steroids, so I had to take inhaled steroids for 10 days.
Are you done with the steroids?
Yeah, I'm about 10 days past when I took them for 10 days straight.
Steroids will cause your body to want to have sweets. It'll cause your body to want to hold on to weights for sure. But that's gone now. Let's see how we go. See how we go over the next week. But in the meantime, get yourself some healthy alternatives like raw chocolates or go to the health food store and find some healthy raw snack bars sweetened with things like stevia or fruits or coconut palm sugar, raw honey or maple syrup, all raw, preferably unprocessed. Find some good alternatives for now and let's see where we are next week. Let's see if it goes away.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Let's see. Next is Trish in Oregon.
Hi, John. This is Trish from Oregon.
Hi, Trish.
Hi. I have a couple questions for you. I had an experience last year, I guess right before the summer, where I was exercising a lot, and I thought this was going to help me. And what I learned from you and from the experience was that I was just kind of putting my body into a stressed out panic mode, like, why do we need to work so hard? Something must be wrong.
Yeah.
And so even though, and I was also feeling really tired and really hungry, so I stopped doing that and I kind of went to the other extreme and just focused on just being, you know, more active in general as far as just walking and doing things around the house and focusing on the healthy eating. So now I've got the healthy eating better than I've ever done before.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm wondering about, you know, when to integrate it, how to integrate the exercise, so I don't send myself back into stress mode.
Yeah.
I am a person that's had a lot of trauma, and I'm getting help for that. But it's something I really have to watch out for to get myself kind of in a stress reaction.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm wondering about is, you know, when the weight does start to drop and we are exercising and eating healthy, you know, is it the slow exercise or the omega-3s that help with the skin elasticity, you know, so we don't have as much sagging skin? Can you address the exercise and that skin question also?
Yes, I can. So I'll go backwards. I'll start with the skin question. The things that help your skin the best are when you are reducing stress, because it's actually stress. And stress, when I say stress, I don't just mean mental and emotional stress. Stress can also be leaky gut, like we talked about this week. Stress is stress. Stress means a threat to the body, something the body has to take care of. So chronic stress, even chronic dieting, chronic stress stops your body from producing reparative hormones. So if you look at your adrenal glands are either going to produce stress hormones or reparative hormones. They're not going to produce both. When you're in a chronic stress state, you're chronically producing stress hormones, and you are never producing reparative hormones. This is one of the reasons why stress is such a big player in cancer, because we get mutations in our cells all the time. Aaron, am I coming through okay? Shan says I'm breaking up a little bit. Okay.
I'm sorry, I haven't been able to hear anything you just said. So
okay, I'm
switching it over to the...
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Stay with me one second, we're just going to work through this. Okay, you can hear me. And Shan, can you hear me okay? Send me a text, let me know if we're doing okay. I'll just say that again, because it's a really important point I wanted to make.
It's kind of...
Okay, so we're cracking. We're having a little bit of an audio issue, Aaron. Do you want to put one of the other computers on a different internet? Okay. All right. So we're having a little bit of a. How are you able to hear me through it? Okay. Stay with me, everybody. We're just working through a little bit of an audio issue, as you do with live events. Okay.
I can hear you on the computer, and it's better now on the phone, so.
Okay. Okay, heaps better. Okay, so whatever you did, Aaron, worked. So hats off to Aaron. He came through once again. Thanks, Aaron. Okay, really important. So here's the really important point about stress. So what I was saying before is when it comes to loose skin, the best thing you can do is reduce stress, whether it's mental and emotional stress or physical stresses. Stress, chronic stress, stops your body from producing reparative hormones. One of the reparative hormones that your body stops producing when it's in a chronic state of stress is elastin, a hormone called elastin, which causes your skin to retain elasticity. So if you're not producing elastin, your skin's going to sag. So if you are doing things to reduce stress, like detoxifying, healing your digestion, doing all the things we suggest, the visualizations, etc., your body has the opportunity to produce elastin, and that will help keep your skin as elastic as possible. It's one of the biggest things that can help. Visualization helps a lot. Detoxification helps a lot. All these things help reduce stress and get your body to produce elastin. The point I was making about cancer a minute ago was I was saying that your adrenals either produce reparative hormones or stress hormones. And when your adrenals are producing stress hormones, they're not producing reparative hormones. And so one of the reasons why stress and cancer are so related is that when you are in a stress state, your cells mutate, and our cells mutate all the time, you can't repair them because you're not producing reparative hormones. So that's a bit, so that's a big problem. So when that so that's why you want to be in a low stress state. When you're in a low stress state, you're producing the reparative hormones. So when it comes to keeping your skin elastic, you want to do all the things we're recommending, which are reducing stress in its various ways. Does that make sense? Okay. So, okay. Okay. So she dropped, but so the caller dropped, but I just want to continue her question. Her other question was about exercise. So if you're listening, I want you to do the exact exercises that I suggested to the caller before. There's a video I did about an ideal kind of home type exercise. We can make it available to you if you don't have it. I sent it out to our whole list a couple of weeks ago. So it's out there, but we can put it in the members area. I'd like you to start doing that 2 times a week and then eventually 3 times a week. And that's it for now. So 2 to 3 times a week. We'll talk a lot more about exercise in the fourth class. But until then, if you do an exercise similar to the one I suggested in theory and concept, where you're doing a little bit of sprinting and then also when you're doing some resistance, that's perfect for you. The whole exercise session should not take more than 20 minutes and should be 2 times a week for starters, and then move up to 3 times a week. And we can talk more about that next time we talk. Okay, let's bring in another caller then. We have Donna from New South Wales in Australia.
Hi, John.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I've got a couple of questions, both from a physical and also from a emotional, mental standpoint.
Yep.
First off, I jumped on the scales today, which I shouldn't have done,
yeah,
and freaked out when I realized I've put on weight since starting this program.
Okay.
So that was the first thing. From a physical background, I'm 52, postmenopausal. First diet I ever remember was when I was 19, and have had this sort of, I've never really been overweight until I was hit about 40, and then the weight really piled on. In the last 2 years, I've put on almost 10 kilos.
Okay.
Have tried everything. Have been to various doctors. I've had all my hormones checked. I was on bioidentical hormones. I've recently started seeing an integrative medicine doctor. Had all my hormones, cortisol, everything checked. My cortisol levels are through the roof. My melatonin levels are really low, so I don't sleep well. She's put me on a cortisol supplement, magnesium, vitamin C. I've been meditating, been trying to do more yoga. She's actually got me seeing an endocrinologist in 2 weeks. From a diet perspective, I'm pretty good, but I've realized lately I'm really self-sabotaging.
Okay. Why do
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Why do you say that you're self-sabotaging?
Yes. And it's not around food. It's really weird. I've got this really weird mental headspace, and even particularly since starting the visualizations and everything, that you know, I'm doing all this sort of visualization and all that, and I'm finding them really good, but it's almost, there's a little voice in my head saying, oh, you're doing this, you can relax in other areas.
Okay.
And it hasn't really been the food, but I do like my wine in the afternoon, and I've actually gone backwards. I'm doing worse with drinking wine, and I've started smoking again, which is really weird, and I just don't know where I'm at.
My sense, let me just stop you, because those are significant things. So my sense is that it's possible that the visualizations are touching something in you that's causing a reaction. Maybe there's some pain or some,
yep,
trauma that it's touching. And it's a little bit like if you had a sprained ankle and it was in a cast, you don't feel it. If I take the cast off and I start touching your ankle to make it better, it's gonna hurt. You're gonna have a reaction. So my,
yep,
sense is there's some sort of reaction to the visualizations that relate to some emotional thing that's causing a trigger for you, and that's really significant.
Okay.
Of all the things that you said, that's really, really significant that you've started smoking and drinking after listening to the visualizations. That suggests to me that it's touching something inside you some trigger inside you of an issue that needs to be worked on, needs to be resolved, maybe more gradually, maybe more directly. If you have some people that you can work with professionally, that would be great. Otherwise, maybe a little bit more gradually by listening to visualizations that are not causing that reaction in you. But that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, because smoking isn't the type of thing you want to start up again, because that's tough to,
Definitely not.
So there is some issue. I want to focus on that. I want you to focus on that. I'd love for you to to definitely be in the class next week, class number 3, where we talk about how emotions affect your weight. But I'm getting that that's a really big issue. Now, there are some hormonal things that are relevant, that your cortisol through the roof and your melatonin low are a combination that'll cause weight. There's no question about it. But there's so many reasons why that may be. It may be that there's an emotional issue. It may be a hormonal issue related to menopause. There's so many different things. It's going to take time to figure that out. But the biggest red flag of everything you've said is that these visualizations are triggering you to kind of go into this other place where you're kind of backsliding. That's an issue. I would change the visualizations right now that are causing that, and I would look to see how you can work through whatever the emotional issues are that are being touched. It's very important.
Okay. My other question too, I listened to the Ask Melinda session the other day, and she was talking about situations where you can have weight sort of protecting you,
yes,
like from in a relationship, yes, from a physical perspective.
Very important.
And all that. And I know my weight really started to go on when I hit 40. Don't know that if that sort of was the same time as menopause, but I also hit sort of a crossroads where I was really questioning my marriage and relationships and all those sort of things. And I think I have a lot of guilt around that because my husband's from overseas. He's moved here, left his family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm afraid, if I lose weight, will I have more confidence? Will I make, decisions with my relationship and, the guilt and the hurt and things that might go along with that?
And what about, let's add to that, because these are really, I want to just tell you, these are really common themes that you're suggesting. And this, you can add to that the fact that, when you lose weight, you're going to get a lot more attention too. And that can cause a problem or be distracting or be an influence you may or may not be wanting to have to deal with. These are all really important issues, and my guess is they're at play. They're causing they need to be addressed. So one thing that's coming to me to suggest to you, there's a book that I'm very fond of that helps communicate in relationships called Nonviolent Communication. Are you familiar with it? Nonviolent.
No, I've never heard of it.
So it's called Nonviolent Communication. It's by a guy named Marshall Rosenberg. Now, violence is sort of a misnomer, because it's not to say that your communications with your spouse is violent. He makes the distinction that anytime you are being judgmental or you're not expressing yourself well or you're not being able to be heard well, he's calling that an element of violence. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, the name, but it really teaches you how to express yourself. And what I'm getting is that you need to feel comfortable expressing yourself in a non-judgmental environment where you can be heard, and also where you can even explore your own feelings. Like, it's almost like you can't get to the place where even you can explore your own feelings because you don't even feel comfortable voicing where you're at right now. So you can't even get past the first layer to find out what's really going on underneath that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This book is so popular now that there are movements all over the world, and in Australia, in New South Wales, everywhere, where they have groups that meet. They call it NVC. So NVC is an acronym for Nonviolent Communication. It might be worth looking if in your area there's a group, an NVC group, and you could talk or get training or get counseling. You need to be heard, you need to be understood, and you need to have space to understand yourself what's going on. And until you do, there could be this kind of subtle rebellion thing going on, because you're at odds with yourself and your situation, and you're fighting yourself. And that's sort of what I'm getting. And I think it's a big issue. And I think that it was an original issue that caused you that caused you to gain weight back in your 40s. And I think it's being touched right now. That's what I think.
Yeah. But so, like, how do you deal with the situation? Well, you know, I'm not leaving my marriage.
Sure.
You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not unhappy.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with the situation? And it sort of comes back to, I remember the first session you did, where, like, families where you've got kids, you might have kids with disability, and you're living under this stress, and you can't go away from it. How do you deal with it?
Yeah. There's lots of different ways to deal with it, and we will talk a lot about it next week when we talk about emotions and how to deal with stress. Visualization is a great way to deal with it. When you're doing your visualizations, you can imagine having the conversation you want with your partner in a really safe place.
Yep.
So you're in a safe place, you've got all this protection. If you listen to that safe and protected visualization, where you've got this column of light, you're in a safe place, you're having this conversation, and he's able to hear you. That's the first place I would start, but I would move to, I feel that I just want to add though, I would move to a place where you can get to a point where you actually feel really safe expressing yourself in a non-judgmental environment where you can be heard. I think this is important for you. I think you need to be heard.
Okay.
And already I don't know, you said maybe there's language issues anyway. So that's already a start, you know. That's already another layer. I don't know, because you said your husband's foreign. I don't know. There's a language barrier, maybe.
There's no language barriers. No.
I feel like I feel like this book will help you, and that you to have counseling in this area where you can get to a place where you can express yourself. This is what's coming to me: is that you can express yourself and be heard in a non-judgmental space. So you could just really explore what's happening.
I've tried doing EFT around it as well.
Yeah.
I
really feel like you need
to be.
I feel like you need to be heard and you need to be understood. And whether and there's maybe some resistance in your own mind. You feel like you can't. You don't feel safe being trying to express yourself, or maybe your partner hasn't learned the skills to hear you. I don't know, but moving in this direction, it would be so beneficial for you, and it will help. It'll help you get to the place where you're not at odds with yourself, because at the moment, I think that's what's being touched.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. Okay. Let's talk to Dean in Michigan if we can.
Hello.
Hi.
John.
Hi, Dean.
Hi. Here's my question. I'm a 60-year-old aging athlete. My digestion works really well. I don't have any problems with it. And everything seems to work well. How extra beneficial is it for me to take some probiotics? Is it worth the expense?
Yes. Nothing's more important, because it's not just a question of the fact that you don't get indigestion. Digestive problems cause weight. You know, you could start gaining weight from digestive problems and not have any kind of feeling of a digestive problem. You can have allergies, you can have autoimmune issues, all kinds of different problems. So it is really important. The issue about being an aging athlete, though, is something I want to talk about, because a lot of times when you're very athletic, when you're younger, there's a tendency to gain weight because you're carrying more muscle, and that muscle starts to atrophy. And when the muscle starts to atrophy, it becomes insulin resistant. It causes your insulin levels to elevate, and insulin's the fat-making hormone. And so this fat-making hormone gets elevated because your muscles are atrophying. Do you understand?
Okay.
So doing a little bit of muscle work with the idea of preventing your muscles from atrophying. So even if you did 10 minutes of strength training 3 times a week, something like that, just so your muscles were not atrophying, is going to give you, more than most people, tremendous results.
Okay.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah,
for
that makes tremendous sense.
Yeah,
I'm also a physiotherapist, so
that'll
be real easy to fit into the program.
So I've seen it so many times with people that were super fit and athletic, And as soon as they stop, they start gaining more and more weight. It starts to snowball. It's because of this. It's because of atrophying muscles. So do not let your muscles atrophy. You don't have to exercise an hour a day. You have to just make sure your muscles are not atrophying, which means you have to do some 10 minutes of strength training 2 to 3 times a week is enough, and it'll have a tremendous result for you.
Okay, well, great. Just a side note, since I started the program here, it's weird because I've actually stepped on the scale more than I have in the last 6 months, and I've dropped about 3-4 pounds, feeling a little bit healthier and sleeping better. It may also be the fact that as of January 1st, I gave up alcohol, which wasn't a huge deal, but it was, you know, just part of the picture.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, but I think you'll get really good benefit from this. You'll be surprised at how quickly you'll get benefit from it. Don't overtrain. Don't do it, like I said, don't muscle train every day. Just 2 to 3 times a week, do strength training,
right,
and you'll get really good results.
Okay, and it still is beneficial to try and boost up that digestive flora.
So important.
I mean, it's not so much I don't get indigestion, it's just that everything seems to flow really well, and I'm as regular as the trains in England.
That's okay. That's not the beginning and the end of the as from a digestion standpoint, because you could still have leaky gut, you could still have unfriendly bacteria causing sugar cravings. You can have all these things.
Okay. And I do occasionally get a few sugar cravings. They have gone down recently, but they're still there. So I will stay on top of that.
All right. Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was quick and easy.
My pleasure. Take care.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk to Betsy in Washington.
Hi, John.
Hi, Betsy.
I called in because I had breast cancer about 12 years ago, and that's when they found out that I had hepatitis C. So for the past 3 years, I was doing interferon and then just did the new one of the new medications. Anyway, so I am virus free, but it wreaked havoc on my body. Yeah. On in June I couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
And now I'm up to 11,000 steps a day, so I feel really good about that. But I know that my digestion was just really difficult. Yeah. And, of course, there's still liver impairment. I made a green drink, and I've been putting a lot of ginger in it because that seems to help.
Great.
With me. What else can I do?
Yeah, so it's going to take time.
For the liver stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about everything, because what are you doing for your digestion? What are you doing for your to repair your digestion right now? Like what steps? Let's start with that. Like, are you taking probiotics or digestive enzymes or taking fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi, kefirs? Are you taking any fermented foods and probiotics? What are you doing for your digestion?
I'm taking probiotics.
Yeah.
I got the Garden of Life one and the digestive enzymes.
Okay.
So I did those.
Great.
The fermented, I've been doing the lemon juice. I got Bragg's apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
But I'm not really doing yet other fermented foods.
Okay,
that's
so
something that I should add in.
Yeah, so if you can go to Whole Foods and get, make sure it's not pasteurized. So go to the refrigerated section and get things like sauerkrauts, various sauerkrauts and kimchis. Just have a teaspoon or a forkful before each meal when you're home. Don't carry it around or anything, but keep it in your fridge. Have a forkful before each meal. That would be really, really helpful too. Have bone broths will be good for both your digestion and your liver. So bone broth is good for both your digestion and your liver. So bone broth has collagen.
Okay.
Bone broth has collagen, which helps heal leaky gut. It helps heal your intestines. And it also has sulfur compounds that helps your liver produce glutathione, which is essential for helping your liver detoxify. So bone broth is really good. Bitter foods are really good for your liver. Dandelion tea, milk thistle as herbs and teas are really good, and bitter foods in general. Anything bitter is really good for your liver. And your digestion too. They're one and the same. The things that are usually good for your digestion are good for your liver too. So just go down this road, give yourself lots of time, and let your body start repairing.
Okay. Yep. And then still keep doing the digestion visualization.
Yeah, do the digestion visualization for a while, for sure. And while you're doing it, imagine healing your liver too. You know, having how energy going into your liver and healing your liver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that one okay to do at night?
Yeah. All visualizations are good to do all the time. There's no downside to visualization. It's just, you know, some things are more beneficial. I like to do visualization right before sleep and when I wake up, and sometimes in the afternoon. So those are good times to do visualization. But absolutely okay to do at night. Really, any visualization that you feel like you're getting benefit from is okay to do anytime. Our minds are so powerful, and when you connect with a visualization, it is tremendously beneficial for healing your body. We don't even know how beneficial, because nobody really even studies it. But the little bit that we do study it, it's tremendously beneficial. So this digestion visualization can really, really help heal your digestion and your liver.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
All right, great. Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so that's it for now. That's all the calls we have. I'm happy we were able to get through everybody. We have another class in exactly 5 days from now, where we're going to be talking about emotions and stress and how important they are. Just like digestion is so crucial, working through stress and mental issues can be even more crucial for some people, but certainly affects all of us. They create hormonal conditions that cause your body to hold on to weight, and sometimes your body actually even uses the weight as a defense against the emotional issue. We'll talk all about that. And then anytime you have questions, you can ask us. I know we've got lots of questions coming in. We've got lots of questions in the members area. We're working around the clock to try to answer them, so be patient with us, and we will get to them. And have a great weekend. And speak to you real soon. Take care.